In many ways, this week's Parsha, Parsha Pinchas, is a response to things which took place in last week's Parsha. This is obviously the very beginning, when we find that Pinchas himself, the man who stepped in at the end of last week's Parsha to stop the outrage that was taking place, is hereby rewarded for his actions. Moreover, we're told about a commandment given in that particular time in order to take vengeance against the people who were involved in creating that particular outrage. So that point, as I said, it's obvious. But there's a couple of other things in this week's Parsha that perhaps are also related. One of them is at the very end of the Parsha, we have a whole series of offerings which are brought. The end of Pinchas has a list of the various offerings. Mainly these are the offerings. It starts with the daily offering, the tamid. It goes on to the weekly, what's brought on Shabbat in the temple. It moves on to the monthly. And then it goes through the year and the various offerings which are brought on the various holidays. So at face value, this has nothing to do with anything that was discussed last week, until we note that there were offerings that were brought. When Bilaam wanted to get favor from God and to curse the Jews, what he had done is that he encouraged Balak to go and to make offerings. These offerings were made toward God. And one of the things that we need to be careful about is that when a person serves God, even perhaps for the wrong intention, and this is something which is stressed in the Talmud, that has an impact. We say that there's a principle that one should serve God, afilu lo lishma balishma. We should serve God even if we don't do the proper intention, because then eventually perhaps we'll serve God with the right intentions. One of the sources for this are the offerings brought by Balak. So if Balak brings all of these offerings, and perhaps, or apparently, they have some kind of an impact within the heavens, so perhaps then it's absolutely appropriate that we're told about the offerings that we bring, not just on the holidays, and not just on monthly, on Rosh Chodesh, and not even just on Shabbat, but the daily offerings which are brought all the time. And it's interesting that even the daily offerings, when the offerings are mentioned, they're mentioned in connection with Har Sinai, in connection with the offerings when we receive the Torah. That our offerings that we bring are not just in order to placate God, as it were. We served in the Beit HaMikdash because God commanded it. And for us, it's part of a much larger relationship. So while it's true, Misha Tochlo Lashma Balashma, that if somebody serves God in a way which is without the proper intention, perhaps it will lead to the proper intention, even serving God, where it may be for other purposes, has an impact. And as I suggest, perhaps that's the reason why there is such an emphasis at the end of this week's Parsha on the offerings. One of the things then that it ends with is, aside from the offerings that are made when one makes a vow is something which is created with the words. What Bilaam tried to do is to use his words to hurt us, to use his words to curse us, and over here we see the opposite, how Jews can use their words in order to serve God, in order to make this world a better place, as it were. So perhaps that's another connection. But there's one more thing that I want to at least note. When Bilaam wanted to curse the people, it says he climbs up on the mountain and he takes a look. And his eye, and perhaps his evil eye as it were, takes a look and tries to find fault. At the end he can't, and at the end he ends up blessing us. It's so interesting that in this week's Parsha, the other thing that happens is that God again says to Moshe that he's not going to be entering into the land of Israel, but he tells him to climb up to the mountain and take a look at the land. And normally, though, I think the way that we would look at this, the way that we would understand this, is that God is saying to Moshe, okay, you can't come into the land of Israel, at least let me allow you to take a little peek. And when we see it in that way, so as I said, perhaps it's hard to understand. You can't enter, so at least you'll see it. You'll see it from afar. You'll take a look at it. But I think there's something which is much deeper. If Bilaam's looking at the people, then created within him this ability to be able to curse the people, can you imagine what it was like when Moshe takes a peek at the land of Israel? Because it's a strange thing, but if Bilaam could be compared to anyone, we're told by the rabbis, he could be compared to Moshe, even though in reality there's no comparison. But this is one of the points. If Bilaam was able to take a look, and then to be inspired and to bless, can you imagine the blessings that Moshe gave to the land of Israel at that moment? Can you imagine the blessings that he gave, which would seem to go and last throughout history? Moshe sees the spiritual ability of that land, and he matches it with the spiritual ability of the people. And Moshe looks in order to also be able to give us a blessing throughout history. We're so lucky that we live in a land which is blessed, and we should appreciate even more. We realize all the tears and all the prayers that Moshe himself prayed, that at least he can enter the land. But if he couldn't enter, at least he took a peek. And we still benefit by that peak of motion.